This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Rahman Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen, Muhammad wa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira. From Mabadu, my brothers and sisters, we are looking at the issue of death and hereafter. And as I have mentioned before, I remind myself and you that death is the only thing which is absolutely certain. About everything else in life, there is a level of probability. Whether it is health, whether it's wealth, it's education, success in careers, success in marriages, in politics, you name it. There is always a level of probability. May happen, may not happen, to what extent it happens and so on. But with death, there is absolute finality and there is complete and total certainty. You don't half die. You are either alive or you are not alive. So when you are dead, you are dead. When you are dead, you never come back to life. It's one way. And this will happen, and it will happen to every single living creature on the earth. No matter how significant or insignificant, no matter how powerful or powerless, no matter anything. Kullu nafsin za'iqatul maut. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, every living creature will taste death. Not only human beings, every single living creature will taste death. And therefore, and no matter how long it lives, and some things, even on this earth, there are some things which live very, very long. Still, the bristlecone pine, for example, lives the oldest specimen of the bristlecone pine is 5,000 years old, and it's still living. So we don't know how long it's going to live. So there are things which live for a long time, but one day even that will die. Everybody dies. So obviously, as far as we are concerned, human beings, we consider ourselves to be intelligent. Then it is only natural for us, when we know that something is going to happen, there is no doubt about that, and to make it more interesting, we don't know when it's going to happen, then it makes eminent sense to put this on the top of our list of priorities. Number one on the list of priorities should be to prepare for death. Whichever way it comes, Allah only knows what is the way that He has written for us. But whatever He has written, that will happen, it will come to pass, and we should prepare for that because we know this is going to happen. So I remind myself anew, let us try to do that. Let's try to experience a little bit of what does it feel when I die, how will it be, right? Obviously, there is no way of feeling this in reality. But to the extent, let's imagine. So imagine, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to, if you want to go lie down somewhere, lie down or just sit with your eyes shut. Imagine that you are lying on the platform or the table on which you are going to be given ghusl. So you have died. This is your body. It's on this table. And there are people who are now bathing you, right? Put yourself in that situation. Think and imagine, how does that feel? Can you feel the water? Can you feel somebody lifting your hand and putting it from here, taking it here, turning your head this way, your legs, you feel the water on your body. How does it feel? What does it feel like? And then they cover you in a kafan, in the shroud. They wrap it on you. You have this cloth over your face. You can't see anything. And then they bring you up from wherever they're bathing you. And who are the people around you? Who's standing there? Your husband, your wife, your children, parents. Who's there? Siblings, brothers, sisters, other friends. What is happening around you? What are they doing? People are... Are they standing there and just watching, or are they chit-chatting, talking? Somebody's phone rings, somebody's talking on the phone, right? You're lying there dead and this person is talking to someone else on the phone. and talking about something. Maybe that person cracks a joke, he doesn't know where this guy is, and this guy is laughing. Believe me, I've seen all this happening, so I'm not exaggerating. But imagine now, you are the guy, you are the person, I'm the person who's lying there, and there's somebody chit-chatting on the phone and joking and laughing. Tells you how important you are, right? What else is happening? Maybe there is somebody there reading Quran. Maybe there is somebody there who is making dua. We hope so. Then what happens? Then they say, okay, now we have to take the what? Think carefully. We have to take who? Now, I have died, my body is here. So what will they say? Let us take Sheikh Yavar to the janaza, to the masjid. Will they say that? Or will they say, let us take the janaza to the masjid? Let us take the body to the masjid. I remind myself and you that when we die, we like to think of, you know, when I die, everything will be gone, this shirt will be gone, this glasses will be gone, this topi will be gone, and so on. They will take away. Even your name is gone. I'm sure all of us have attended many janazas. Did anyone in any janaza, no matter how much they loved the person who died, did they refer to that person by name, or did they say janaza or body? Bring the janaza here, bring the janaza there, put it here, put it there. We even lose our name. So today, if I'm in the world and I'm doing something and I feel somebody disrespected me, and somebody should have said salam to me, did not say salam to me, and if I'm feeling very, you know, hurt and upset and angry about that, let me remind myself that a day will come when even my name will not be there. That is the reality. That is the actual reality. So now they take me to the masjid. And they put the body to one side. Because the Salatul Janaz is usually prayed after whatever Fard Salah. And this is not from the Usul. You can pray Salatul Janaz any time. But usually they will pray Salatul Janaza after a Fard Salah, because usually in a Fard Salah you will have more people. So the more number of people who pray Salatul Janaza. Salatul Janaza is dua, it's not Salah as in worship. There is no ruku, there is no sujood, there is no iqama. It is dua maghfirah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts this dua, inshallah. So the more number of people who are there, it is beneficial for the person who died. So then that's for that reason they bring the body to the masjid for the Salatul Janaza. Salatul Janaza can be prayed also in the Qabristan. I mean, it can be prayed in the masjid or in the graveyard, as the case might be. It can even be prayed in the home. But usual thing is to be prayed in the masjid, because more number of people collect there. So, my body is put to one side. And then the Iqamat is called, the Yazan is called, the Iqamat is called, whichever Salah it is, right? They will pray the Salah. And then there will be an announcement to say, after the Fard Salah, there is a Salatul Janaza. And when the Fard Salah is over, when the Sunnat Salah, and there is a prayed Sunnah, whatever it is, then they say, bring the Janaza. Name is gone. No more mentioning of the name. Bring the Janaza. And the Janaza will be brought and put there. And then the Imam will lead the Salatul Janaza. Or if there is a child or somebody else who is close to the person who died, they might do it. What will you be seeing there? What will I be seeing there now? I'm seeing my body is lying there in that stretcher, and people are lining up, odd number of lines of rows, and the Imam is saying, please concentrate. Maybe somebody is saying, will say a few words about me. What will they say? What would you like to hear? Think about this. Ask yourself this question. When somebody is, we don't have a system of this in Islam. We don't have these eulogies and so on. In the Christian tradition, they have. But I see in America, most places, we seem to have adopted this custom of, people making speeches. So anyway, I'm not talking about whether it's a good custom or a bad custom. But the point is that if that is happening, what would you like to hear? Ask yourself this question. What do you want to be remembered for? And then the Salat al-Janazah spirit. After that, they will carry my body to the cemetery, to the graveyard. The grave is dug, the grave is open, it's a hole in the ground. It's not really a hole in the ground, it is the doorway to the Alamul Barzakh. I am actually going from one world into another world. To the people standing there, it looks like a hole in the ground. And they think they are putting me in the hole and they will cover up the hole, throw mud on me and that's it. But I am actually going from one state of being into another state of being. That's why in Urdu we call this intiqal, muntaqil hona, to move from one state into another state. So the pit is ready and they will bring me my janaza, my body, and they will put the body there into the pit. And then they will throw in the soil and cover it up. Imagine yourself. You are lying in this pit. You cannot do anything. No control. No thinking, no means, no resources. Total and complete helplessness. And then I have 6 feet of soil on top. So whether I am in just a cloth coffin, shroud, or whether it's in a box or something, in this country that seems to be the norm. I hope I can be buried only in a cloth, inshallah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, this is possible. And the grave is filled up, sealed, and the people go away. How do you feel? Think about this. Think about this, because this is going to happen. Every single thing which I mentioned to you, if you die as a Muslim, which I hope all of us will die as Muslims, this is what will happen to you. No matter which country you die in, no matter who's there, whether the people who bury you are your own family or they are strangers, this is how they will do it. And then they are gone. And I am lying there in that pitch dark place. What does it feel like? And then they come. Who comes? Munkir and Nakir. The angels to question. Man Rabbuk, who is your Rabb? Ma Deenuk, what is your Deen? What do you say about the man who was sent among you? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The three questions of the grave concerning the Aqeedah of the person, concerning the creed, the beliefs system of the person. So open your eyes, ask yourself, how do you feel? Do this again. This lecture, I'm just describing this for you to get the overall method of it, but I want you to do this by yourself. Alone, go and literally lie down and imagine and take yourself in your imagination through that entire journey. From the time you see the angels, the Malakul Maut, to the time the soul is being extracted, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this extraction of the soul the most beautiful, the most painless, the smoothest, the easiest thing that happens to us, inshallah. Sakratul Maut, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from the Sakratul Maut. My brothers and sisters, death, Maut is called Qiyamatul Sughra. It is called the small Qiyamah. And that is because it's the beginning of the Day of Judgment for the person. Some Bedouins, some of the Badu Arab, they came, many of them, they would come to Prophet ﷺ from time to time, groups, and they would say, when is the hour? When is the Day of Judgment? And Nabi ﷺ would look at the youngest of them, most of them, you know, they would have some children with them. Nabi ﷺ would look at the youngest of them and he would say, if Allah gives a long life to this one, then before he dies, the Day of Judgment would have started for all the rest of you. And that is because the Day of Judgment for the individual begins with his or her death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ Allah said, say, the angel of death, the Malakul Maut, who has been set over you, will take your souls, and then you shall be brought to your Rabb. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that day the most beautiful day of our lives. The day when we will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. I remind you and myself that the death of a mu'min is a day of happiness. It is the happiest, the most beautiful day that they could ever have had. Sure, there is a pain of parting for the people who are left behind. But try to think of it from their perspective. That day they were waiting for. They were asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please call me, I want to meet you. I did whatever I did in my life. I tried to do my best. Whatever I tried to worship, my dhikr, my fikr, my tilawat al-Quran, my fasting in Ramadan, my charity and so on, is for what? Is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every believer, we don't wish for death as in I want to die, no. But I want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put this shauk, this desire to meet Him in our hearts and to meet Him in a state when He is pleased with us. So when a believer dies, when a Muslim dies, that day is the happiest day of their lives because they are leaving this world. And when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah is pleased with them, then they will be in a situation which is far superior and much better in a way which I cannot possibly describe. No matter how well and how good they were in this life. So that is the reason why we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us that in the best possible way. Make the last of my days, the best of my days, and the last of my, and the day I meet Allah, the best day of my life, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, who whatsoever is on the earth will perish. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَ فَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ Whatsoever is on the earth will perish, and the face, the countenance of your Rabb, Jalla Jalaluhu, full of majesty and honor, will endure, will abide forever. Allah said in Surah Al-Ankabut, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ ثُمَّ إِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ Everyone shall taste death, then unto us you will be returned. My brothers and sisters, if anyone could be spared death, if anyone could be given eternal life, it would surely have been Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said even to him, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ He said, verily you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will die, and verily they too will die. Let us remind ourselves that nobody can die before their time and nobody can live longer than their time. Sometimes we use this term, these terminologies. We must think and talk. The benefit of knowledge is that we should speak with knowledge. Sometimes people say, when somebody, oh, then it's untimely death. I died too young. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as an untimely death. Death will not come except at its appointed time. I find it very funny that all these world leaders, they go around with all kinds of security. Nothing can save you. When the time comes to die, you will die. No matter how many cordons of security were around you, no matter what was there, when the time comes, if the time comes for you to die, you will die. You can die in your bed. What's the security going to do for you? So die in your sleep. Nothing can save you from death when the time comes, and nothing can kill you before the time comes. Both of these things are equally true. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تَمُوتَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ كِتَابًا مُؤَجَّلًا. And no person can ever die except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's leave, by His permission, and at an appointed time. Death comes to individuals and to nations at an appointed time, neither to be hastened nor delayed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلٍ فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and every nation has its appointed term. There was a time when people said, the sun never sets on the British Empire. And today the British Empire is in a state where it looks like the sun never rises on it. Right? And the same thing goes for every empire. The Muslims ruled the world for 700 plus years. Today, we are the tail end of the world. Genghis Khan and his family ruled the world for over 300 years. The largest land empire of any in the history of mankind. No one ever had a bigger land empire than Genghis Khan and his family had. Gone. Not a trace. Every empire at its peak, every king, every emperor at his peak considers himself to be immortal, considers that empire thinks that it is going to be there forever. Nothing is forever. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forever. So Allah said, every nation has its appointed term, and when their term is reached, neither can they delay it, nor can they advance it, even by a moment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ لَا أَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسٍ ضَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلٍ إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ فَلَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have no power over any harm or profit to myself except what Allah may will. I cannot give myself, means I cannot give you any benefit or any harm except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. And for every community or ummah or a nation, there is a term appointed. And when their term is reached, meaning at that time they will die, they will finish. Neither can they delay it, nor can they advance it by an hour or even a moment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَوْ يُوَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِظُلْمِهِمْ مَا تَرَكَ عَلَيْهَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ وَلَكِنْ يُوَاخِرُهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. In Surah An-Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and if Allah were to seize mankind for their wrongdoing, He would not leave on the earth a single moving living creature. But He postpones them. Right, He postpones the reckoning for an appointed time. And when that time comes, neither can they delay it, nor can they advance it by an hour or even a moment. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِيكُمُ الْمَوْتُ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدَةٍ. Allah said, wherever you may be, death will overtake you, even if you are in fortresses built up strong and high. No cordon of security will save you, no fort will save you, no wall will save you. No, nothing will save you or me when it is our time to go. And nothing can harm us and nothing can kill us before that time is reached. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about some people of the Bani Israel who left their homes to escape death. And Allah said, Alam tara ila alladhina kharaju min diyarihim wa hum ulufun hadar al mauti faqala lahum Allahu mutu thumma ahyahum inna Allaha ladhu fadlin ala nas walakin akthara nas la yashkurun. Allah said, did you O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam not think of those who went forth from their homes in thousands fearing death? They left their homes fearing death. Allah said to them, Mutu. Allah said, die. So they died. And then He restored them to life. And truly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is full of bounty to mankind, and most people do not thank. Most men thank not. Umm Habiba radiallahu anha, the daughter of Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, the wife of Rasulullah sallam, made a dua and she said, O Allah, give me pleasure by giving a long life to my husband Rasulullah sallam, and to my father Abu Sufyan, and to my brother Muawiyah. Rasulullah said, you are asking Allah with regard to fixed terms and counted days and ordained provisions that have already been divided. If you had asked Allah to save you from Jahannam and to save you from the punishment of the grave, it would have been better for you. Yeah? She asked for long life for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for her father and her brother. Allah Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that dua is useless because you are asking Allah for something which is already decided. The period, time period of life is decided, which means also that your risk is decided. What you are supposed to get, provisions are decided. Instead of that, he said, ask for saving from Jahannam and from the punishment of the grave. So those people who try to deny the punishment of the grave and so on, then this is one of the hadiths. And there are many such, as well as Quran, which give us clear evidence that the grave is a place of benefit or of punishment. We ask Allah to save us from the punishment of the grave. My brothers and sisters, our death, the exact time and place of it is fixed. It comes unannounced, suddenly. We don't have time to prepare for it. And so it is essential to be prepared to face death at all times. Illa mashallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those Allah wants to give time, He will give time. And those who He wants to warn in advance so that they can do something about it, you know, inshallah, make wudu, salah, sujood, whatever. But the norm is that it comes suddenly, it comes without warning. And the only way to ensure that we die in a state of Islam is to live in a state of Islam, is to always be prepared to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not die except in a state of Islam. La yamutuna illa wa antum muslimun. How can I ensure that I do not die except in a state of Islam? By living in a state of Islam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that's why he said, if you knew what I know, you would laugh less and cry more. In another place, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, remember often the destroyer of pleasure. He said, Al-Mawtu Haqq. He said, death is true. If we remember death often, the wails of ghafla, the wails of thoughtlessness, heedlessness, and illusion that have covered our mind will be removed. Right? The question is, even though we are absolutely sure of death, what do we do to prepare for it? And that is something that I remind myself and you to do. Now we will talk more about this and what people, different people do, inshallah, in our next class. But for today, let us remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this chance to remember Him and to always thank Him for giving us this guidance so that we understand and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to do that which is pleasing to Him and save us from that which does not please Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our lives full of khair and barakah, and to make our death a means of barakah for us, and to ease it, and to save us from all the pain and suffering that goes with sakrat, and to take us in a state when He is pleased with us. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ.